Well, my name is Philip, and I'm really glad to be here, and we're going to be continuing in our series on the book of Philippians. And I have to tell you this about that. I was absolutely thrilled when Pastor John asked me to share from these particular verses. These are such powerful verses. In fact, some of my favorites and probably some of yours as well. Amen. And so, if I would dare to say that if I didn't have any other verses out of the Bible, if I had no access to any of these other verses, just these nine, they have the power to truly transform our lives. And so they have secrets that really are not secrets because they're right here in the Word of God. And so today I'm going to present these in the form of a choice, because we know from the Bible in Deuteronomy, we know that God says, you know, He gives us a choice. We get to choose life or we get to choose death, but we get to make that choice. And that's something that for us to think about, because God has a sovereign will and He has a permissive will. And our choices are within that permissive will. And so we get to choose. And so no one can choose but you. No one can choose for you. You're the only one that can choose for yourself. And that's what the Bible says. I've given you the freedom to choose. Now choose well. And so that's why I wanted to entitle the name of the preaching, the secrets of facing life well, is real dependent a lot of times on the choices that we make. Our choices matter. And so I'm going to present these nine verses in the form of a choice. And I want you to think about that. And it's my prayer that you really take these verses to heart. That's my prayer, that you take them to heart and that you apply them in your life. The first choice that we have today is verse 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord how many times? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, in case we didn't get it, I will say it again, rejoice. And any time that God repeats something in the Bible, it's a big deal. Amen? I'm an amen God, remember? Amen? And so anytime God repeats something, he says, I really want you to get this. I'd like for you to get this because it's very, very important. And so we have to choose to rejoice. If we wait on our feelings, we may never rejoice. If we wait on our circumstances to be perfect, we may never rejoice. And the devil's going to keep us like that until we finally get it. Like a football game, and they call the same play until the defense gets it, they're going to keep running it. And so God wants you to know that this is very powerful, and he wants you to choose to rejoice. It's important. And so an application to this thinking comes to us from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians says, I want you to be made new. Someone say new. I want you to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Amen? In the attitude of your mind. Because I don't get to choose my circumstances. You don't get to choose your circumstances. But something you do get to choose is what? Your attitude. Amen. How you respond to your situations in life. That's something we all can choose to do. And when the devil throws the kitchen sink at you, you know, God wants you to throw that kitchen sink back at him even stronger. Amen. You don't have to put up with that nonsense. And Joy says that you know that God's in control and that God has got this and that you can trust him with it. So when I put on the armor of God, for example, every day when I put on the armor, the first thing I say is, Lord, make me new in the attitude of my mind. And second thing I say, Lord, grant unto me the mind of Christ. Because that's so very, very important to have the mind of Christ. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So I don't want any of you to let your circumstances control you or your feelings control you. But I want you to know the truth that sets you free. That's the thing that we want to focus on, is that we need that attitude of gratitude, the attitude of thanksgiving, the attitude to choose rightly. The second thing I want you to see is that I forgot to turn my timer on. I have to put it up here. Okay, there you go. All right, so I guess I've already taken a couple of minutes. So I was anyway. The second choice comes from verse 5. Let's read that. It says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Because the Lord is near. Now that's really important, because gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. There's nine of those. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you could just as easily be biblically correct here in saying, let the fruit of the Spirit be evident. that the fruit of the Spirit be evident. And that's very, very important. We want to express, we want those fruits of the Holy Spirit to be evident. So every one of you, if you're believers, I hope that I'm preaching to the whole room, but not all of you may be. And so let me just say this. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, dwelling in you. He dwells in you. I forgot my water bottle. Okay. All right. It's right. This water bottle is about 3/4 full. And if I put some more water in it, what would happen? And I kept putting it in and kept, it would just be overflowing. God wants you to be overflowing. That's what he wants you to choose. You know, Jesus said, I've come to bring you life overflowing. And he wants that. And so when we stay connected to the Holy Spirit, remember about the Holy Spirit, okay? He's our connection. Look, Jesus said this. He said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. Now remain in me. Why? Because apart from him, you can't do anything. And to stay connected to him, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need to spend time with the Spirit. You need to get filled up so that you can overflow. How many of you want to overflow? Amen. I hope so. How many of you want to experience the fruits of the Spirit? And look, without the Holy Spirit and without the help of God, we can do nothing. We're just a branch. But here's the good news. As a branch, we only have one single thing to do. Remain attached. Abide in the vine. That's it. I mean, God could have made it any easier. Just remain in him. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you can bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. I almost want to take a drink. So we can choose to be full of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, you know, how much more of the Spirit shall God give you to those who ask? I've asked the Lord for that how much more. I don't know what that how much more is, but I would like that how much more. Amen. Lord, so I'm asking, Lord, how much more? And so I want the all that I can get and even more. But see, just like this water bottle, it's right now just 3/4 full. If I drank some of it, it'd be half full. I don't want to be half full. I don't want to be a quarter full. I want to be just full. I want to be overflowing. And I hope that that's what you want as well, because it's great. It's a great place to be. So let your gentleness or the fruit of the Spirit be evident to all, because the Lord is near. He is in you. And again, ask yourself, it's not that you have the Holy Spirit, but again, I'm going to ask this question. How much of the Holy Spirit, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? That is the important question. How much of you does the Holy Spirit have? Is there any room in your life for him to fill? Think about that. It's important. So that's what it says, that when you are full of the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit, gentleness will be evident. All the fruits of the Spirit will be evident to all. Now listen, if you're not walking in the Spirit, what's going to be evident to all? You're going to be freaked out, panicked out. You're going to be anxious. You'll be fearful. You're going to be angered out. You're going to be stressed out. You know, all these things just are evidence that you're not operating in the fullness of the Spirit. Amen. And all you have to do is ask him, and he'll fill. He doesn't not want to fill you. So we need to remember this verse that Pastor Virgil shared. I believe it is Pastor Virgil. But I'm going to already call him Pastor. He's coming, right? Amen. And so in Acts 4:13, he brought this verse up. And I said, he's stealing from me already. No, I'm just kidding. And he said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, the people, John and Peter's day, particularly the religious leaders, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been what? With Jesus. Amen. These men had been with Jesus. And when you spend time with Jesus, he's going to rub off. You know what the word anointing means? Anybody? I know that some of you do. You know what the word anointing means? What does it mean, Roseanne? Means rubbing off, right? Means rubbing off. And when the Bible speaks of oil that's represented to the Holy Spirit, they would rub the oil on a person and anoint them. Well, when we spend time with God, he rubs off. people can tell. You've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. And so that's really important for us to take note of. So the Bible tells us, walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ask and thirst and hunger for the Spirit of God. And then we'll be able to face life well by the power of the Holy Spirit. This third choice here is choose to trust God with everything. Again, that gets back to the fact that we got to leave something for Him to fill. We got to trust Him with everything. You know, I'm a bowler. I like to bowl. How many of you in here like to bowl? A few. Okay. But one of the things is, you know, sometimes if you throw a hook ball and you want to throw it out there, it gets pretty close to the gutter and you got to throw it out there and lift your hand in such a way that it comes back and it ends up in the pocket to knock all 10 pins down. Amen. Well, you know, that's what I want. And so I would come up with this little saying, trust is a must or your relationship's a bust. Amen. We got to trust the Lord with everything. And it really pleases Him when He do that. Now listen to what the verse 6 says. It says, do not, sounds like a command there to me, do not be anxious about anything. Somebody say anything. Anything. I can't hear you. Anything. All right. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Well, we know that the Bible instructs us to pray and have dialogue with God. We've got that. And we're told to pray without ceasing. And we're told to be devoted to prayer. And that's for a reason. And it says, by prayer and petition. Now, let me talk about petition a moment. I encourage you to make your petitions specific. If Paula was here, did I say specific or did I say, okay, specific. She says I say it like the Pacific Ocean. But specific. Make your prayers specific. You know why I say to do that? Because when the answer comes, you'll recognize it clearly. And you know what that does? When the Bible says when God answers our prayers, it makes our joy complete. Wow, that's another reason. It makes our joy complete. We know that God heard. We know that He answered. We know that He cares by personal experience. That is worth fighting for. That is worth seeking with all your heart. Then you know that God is for you. You know. You should know without any question. God doesn't want there to be any doubt, any fear, any anxiety, any worry. You just know God heard your prayer and He answered it. You know, when we pray in the Spirit, for example, we may not know what we're praying unless we ask Him for the interpretation. But when He gives us that interpretation, guess what? We know that He heard. Oh, that's pretty amazing. Thank you, Lord, for that. But it says here also this thanksgiving, and we've talked a lot about thanksgiving already. It's important to be thankful, to have an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. But also it says when you present your request to God, since this is kind of the Christmas season coming on us, let me say it like this. Think of it as not just presenting, but present, like a Christmas present. You ever thought about God receiving it that way? When you go to Him and you make your petition known to Him, and He, you know how you receive? Oh, my son, my daughter. They trust me enough to bring this to me. They trust me enough that they can cast their cares upon me because I love them. And you know what? When you present those requests to God, that just touches His heart. And He's never going to say to you, I don't have time for you. He's never going to say to you, go away, come again another day. He's never going to do that. He's not going to treat you like that because that's the way the devil wants to do. He's the one that condemns and accuses and all that junk that he does. So, you know, so I like this. We were saying basically four things, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and presenting your request to God just like a little child. You know, what can we give to the Lord? We heard that one of the, just the trust. It touches His heart. Trust touches His heart. My child, trust me. That's a big deal to develop and ask the Lord to help you in that. The fourth choice that we could make comes from verse 7. Choose the peace of God. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Guess what? Peace is another one of those what? Fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Love, joy, peace. We get to choose. Lord, fill me anew this day. And look, when we, it says here, that kind of peace, he says, Jesus said, look, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. So don't expect to receive from him as the world gives. He gives unconditionally and out of love. And it's a perfect love. And you can trust him and you can rely upon that perfect love. And it says, when that is operating, when the peace of God is evident in you, it won't make any sense. What's wrong with you? Why? How do you have peace when you got this bad news? How do you have peace? I don't understand. And they may not even know, but look, it invites an opportunity for you to share the reason of the hope you have in you. Because they see something different about you that they don't have in themselves. They don't have peace, which transcends all. In fact, it may not even make sense to you. Amen? Amen? All right. That's all right, Roseanne. Go ahead and be obnoxious. Roseanne that's here today, I forgot I meant to enter. Roseanne and her friend Vicky, they're both friends of mine. They were involved with me in the prison ministry. And Vicky actually worked at the prison. And Roseanne was my volunteer chaplain. And both of them are tremendous blessings. If they would drive all the way here. I mean, you know, it's not a captive audience anymore. You're free to go if you want. You don't have to. You don't have to be. Well, I'm so thankful that you're here. When you donated to the prison ministry here recently, I think you've done it up here. That's who's still doing it to this day. And every year for 20 something years, you know, that's the only Christmas those men and those women may get. Because a long time ago, the families maybe gave up on them. So it's a meaningful ministry. Thank you, Roseanne. Thank you, Vicky, for being here and for doing that. Now you made me completely lose my place. No, I'm just kidding. So when it doesn't make sense to you, how can I have peace? You know, recently I went to the doctor this week and I didn't get the report that I'd hoped for. And some of you were praying and that type of thing. You know, I'd hope for a better report. But basically what was said was that, you know, you have heart failure and I want you to go to a clinic that deals with heart failure. And what I should have said that I didn't say, I wish that I'd said now upon reflection is, okay, there is no failure in my God. There is no failure in my God. Amen. A big amen. There's no failure in him. And he's the one that made my heart and he's the one that's watching over my heart. And he did that many years ago when he revealed that verse to me at a time when I had my first heart. So look, I made your heart. I'm watching over it. I don't have anything to fear or be anxious about because there is no failure in God. To live is Christ, to die is Gain. So how is that a failure? Well, either way, I win. Someone say amen. Either way. So why be anxious about something? I can't change that. That's my circumstance, and that's a bad report. How I receive that report is what's important to God. And I don't say that to you to make you feel sorry for me. I can't lose. Amen. Right, James? Can't lose. All right. So the Bible tells me not to lean on my own understanding in Proverbs 3:5. It tells me again that Jesus, he said, look, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. And anytime we're letting our hearts be troubled, all it means at that moment, we took our eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Because he is the one that gives you that. Doesn't make sense, but I have peace. The peace, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. Fifth choice, choose the mind of Christ. Brother Ray kind of covered this, you know, a little bit last week when he shared. Actually a little bit. Hold off on that thought a moment. But choosing the mind of Christ, it says, finally, brothers, in verse 8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. think about those things. You know, sometimes a simple question we need to ask ourselves, what am I thinking about? You know, particularly if you're sitting in front of the tube or on the internet or all this stuff or the TV, and we're kind of got what I call brain fog. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's important to know what you're thinking about. And when you realize that it's not something worth thinking about, that's probably the devil trying to influence your thoughts. And it's not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin to let those thoughts, you know, not take those thoughts captive. I learned a long time ago, it was quite the revelation to me. It took me a while to get it when God basically revealed to me was this, that the thought is not my thought. You ever had a strange thought come into your mind, and even in the middle of a prayer service or a worship service, and say, where did that thought come from? Well, it came from the enemy, not from you, but he wants you to pretend you to believe that that thought is from you. And then he just beats up on y'all. He just beats up on you after that. Think about that. I'm not going to go there. And when Jesus was tempted by the evil, if thoughts were their sin, Jesus would have sinned, and we know he never sinned. Amen? So the thoughts are not the sin. It's what we do with them. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians to take them captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5, if you want to look that up. But in that scripture, it talks about demolishing these arguments, demolishing these pretensions. Take them captive. Even Jesus was even tempted by the evil one with the word of God itself. And that's really strange to think about that. He said, well, does not the word of God say, don't throw yourself off this high place, and, you know, and that the angels will take care of you? You know what Jesus, how he dealt with that? Because that is in the word of God in Psalm 91. But you know what Jesus said? It also says this. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. So the devil doesn't give you the complete story because he's a liar. He doesn't love you. He's a hater of you. Never think the devil's your friend. And then in verse 9, this is the part that kind of Ray touched on in his message. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Let me say that again. Put it into practice. Because if we don't put it into practice, then we're open to self-deception. We're deceived. And we become double-minded. And the Bible says that a double-minded man or woman shouldn't even expect to receive anything from the Lord. Because we're double-minded. So, it's important. I want to speak to the young people in particular. Be careful who you put up on a pedestal. Amen. Be careful who you would want to idolize, so to speak. A sports figure or a celebrity or somebody. Not that all celebrities are bad or all sports figures are bad or this or that. It's not. There's many people that love the Lord. But if a person doesn't know the Lord and you're trying to model yourself after them, you know, the devil's on a downward path. He got kicked out of heaven. Then he got kicked out of access to heaven completely. He got thrown into the abyss at one point in time. And he's ultimately ending up in the lake of fire for an eternity. He's on a downward path. Don't attach yourself to him. No matter what your friends say. Look, you be young men and young women of God. Let the devil be afraid of you, not the other way around. You be the leader that God has called you to be in this generation. You are the young men and the young women that us old folks are looking for and praying for. You're going to rise up and be the leaders of this next generation. You. Amen. Don't hook yourself up to losers. Amen. You know, I mean, I'm just being frank. God wants you to stand out, not fit in. Somebody say that. One of you young people, stand out, not fit in. Come on, stand out. I'm being warned, running out of time. Oh, I give myself 10 more. Yeah, stand out, don't fit in. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Be the leader God has called you. It's like me. Don't look at you. You. Don't you shake your head. I mean, man, we got some wonderful young people in this church. And I just want you to know and be encouraged. God's got his eye on you.
That's right.
He's for you.
Yes.
So you want to stand out, not fit in. You want to be transformed, not conformed. You want to recognize that Jesus, let me just give you this tip too. He's the only one that died for you. These friends, these other people that are trying to put peer pressure on you and those kinds, Jesus is the only one that died for you. He's the only one worth having in your life as a model. And you can choose other godly men and women. We've got some great men like Richard and Raymond and John, James, a young man right here that's really powerful in the Lord. Be men of God. Well, I didn't mean to scare him. So my allegiance should be to Jesus. Amen. All right. Verse number 10. Choose to seize every opportunity. Did you catch every opportunity? Choose to seize every opportunity. And I think that goes without saying that. Listen, when you have an opportunity, share it. Take it, you know, God gives you an opportunity, you know, turn every conversation around. You can turn it around if you're looking to do that. You're asking God, is there someone who needs a word of hope today? You think he's going to answer that prayer? Anybody think he's going to? Well, why aren't you praying that then? Lord, show me somebody that I can give hope to today. And he's going to answer that. He's going to go out of his way to answer that. All you have to do is be ready. Showing someone that needs a word of encouragement. Seize every opportunity. And if you miss some, just say, oh, okay, I missed it there. Give me another one. He will. He loves to answer those kinds of prayers. Is there someone that needs to hear the gospel today, Lord? Is there someone who just needs a word of encouragement? Is there someone, Lord, just lead them to me. Help me be ready. Verses 11 through 13 talks about the secret of contentment. How many of you like secrets? Anybody? Come on. Okay, one brave woman here. Okay, there you go. I know that some of us are guilty of gossip, so we apparently, you heard this one? So we like secrets, unfortunately, yeah. But God has some secrets in these verses. As I said, they're very powerful verses. And I call this one the secret of secrets, verses 11 through 13. It says, I'm not saying this, Paul is saying this, you know, that previously he had just said, you know, you haven't had the opportunity to show your concern for me. And now he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Remember, he's under house arrest for 2 years there when he wrote the prison epistles, especially Philippians here. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Somebody say whatever the circumstances.
Yeah, there is a circumstance.
I think we ought to say that again, don't you think, James? Whatever the circumstances. There's a friend I used to have that every time I'd talk to, whatever, you know, it's not Paul either. So anyway, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, if he stopped there, that would be really mean. But he didn't stop there because God wants us to know the secret. He's not trying to hide it from us. And I said at the other congregation, because we stand up and say this verse every week, Sister Barb stands up and says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. She says that one. And then she says this one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret. You say, well, I never saw it like that before. Well, it's been a secret, but not anymore. Amen. You can do all things through Christ. Now listen, I want to share this with you from the Amplified. Okay? All right. I know you didn't put that up there, but I've got it here. Listen to this closely. This will impact your life. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Wow. Somebody say, wow. I think it should have a double wow there, right? Don't you? Wow. I mean, I can do whatever I need to be able to, according to his plan. He has plans for each and every one of us. And you can do those plans because of him infusing you with his spirit and with his strength, with his wisdom. All you got to do is just believe that and seek him in that. You know, none of you would remember the old Doris Day song, "My Secret Love Is No Secret Anymore." I mean, it shouldn't be a secret. Jesus shouldn't be a secret in your life or anybody else's life. So whatever you're called to do, whatever you're called to do, God says, you don't have to do it alone. God doesn't do like this. He doesn't say, Philip, I want you to go do this and then walk off and leave me. See, that's what the devil would have you, that you got to go do it now on your own. No. He says, I'll be with you. He told Moses that. Go tell the Pharaoh what I want you to tell him. Yeah, but I can't do, I am that I am will be with you. That's all you need. Do you believe that with all your heart? Then you act upon it, you see. And when you step that first step of faith, he gives you the next step and the next step, one step at a time. So you have to ask yourself, what will I choose today? What will I choose? You know, I have a song that's in the hymn book, and it says, I have decided. Y'all know that song? You know, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, come on, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Again, no turning back, no turning back. Amen? What's the next verse? The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No, I'm not asking you to raise your hands, just the cross for me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Now there's one more verse. And I would ask the prayer warriors, people like Raymond, people like Richard, people like John, people like Joseph, people like Jane, would you please come up here? And if you would just stand here, and we're going to sing this last verse, I just promise, one more verse. This is your opportunity to choose publicly. No matter what it is that you need to choose, whether you don't have a relationship with God or you want to choose, hey, I just, God spoke to me today. That's between you and him. But it's good to publicly acknowledge and have someone come along your side and pray for you. Right. Amen? So I would say to you, who will be the first? Who will be the first? And it goes, how does it go? Let me look. Oh, it's always the last verse that gets, yeah, well, what can you say? Oh, will you decide now? Will you decide now to stand up? Jesus. Come on, stand up. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning. Come on. No turning back. No turn. We're going to do that verse one more time. This is your time. This is your time. Decide now to follow Jesus. Come on. Who will be the first? decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Now listen to me. Listen to me. While we're up here, some people may need to do business with God. So we're going to see, you should be pleading with God for that person. Maybe you're okay yourself right now, but there may be someone here that's not okay. And maybe he's a little timid about coming forward. But when they hear these words and they hear your prayers going up for them, when Lord, you know, that might be just the very thing that moves their heart. It did with me. It took me a bunch of weeks before I finally surrendered. I felt the conviction every week, but I didn't go forward. But something about when you're singing songs and praises to God, people want to respond to that. So we're helping the Lord touch hearts. So one more time. This is it. I'm not going to belabor it. I promise. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Father, thank you so much for each person in this congregation this day. Thank you, Lord, that we pray that the ears have heard and eyes have seen and hearts have been touched by the power of your word, which is so very, very powerful. So Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts this day and help us as we go through our life one day at a time to make decisions that bring honor and glory to you, knowing that you will help us, knowing that you will stand aside of us, knowing, oh God, that you want the best for us, knowing, oh God, that you are the one that enables us to resist peer pressure, the temptations and the lies of the evil one, knowing, oh God, that if you are for us, who in the world could be against us? And so thank you so much, Lord, and may the blessings, the favor of God be on every person here this day. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, God's people say, Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.